Crate, thanks to your friendly neighbourhood record store, Southbound Records.
Hi, Troy. Welcome back into the studio. You're in here on a Thursday morning like you are every Thursday morning with some records from your record shop.
That's right. This week is something slightly different in that we just did a short few days buying trip to Tokyo, Japan. And not me. Jeffrey went. Yes.
Goodness me.
And picked up some interesting
Last time that happened, you picked up some interesting platters, I'll tell you that.
That's true. And I didn't bring a whole pile in here to distract ourselves this time. This time round, there's a wide range of fun stuff.
All right.
So there's some of the stuff we brought in was new, and there's a few Japanese only store specific reissues, that kind of thing. There's there was some other new stuff. Can't remember quite what. Stop that feedback.
It's me. Sorry.
But also.
Sorry about that.
Also, we went and visited our friends at a dub store, who, of course, do some of the great reggae reissues and do some lovely pressings of them. We've got a whole bunch of the whole block of new 7-inches from dub store and that stuff.
Oh, really? Hot off the plane from Japan.
Yep, the Uniques, the Hippie Boys, Val Bennett, Linville Thompson, Count Ozzie, that sort of thing. But also, what have you done? So this here is a record that they put out last year and then disappeared quite quickly, and it came back in again. And I particularly like this record.
Beautiful cover, black and white photo of four dapper young gentlemen there on a slight lean and beautiful blazers and dressed to the nines. The Techniques and Friends, Winston Riley's rock steady and early reggae from 1968 to 1969. That is a small window there they're talking about.
It's a very window. And it's an even smaller window when you consider the Techniques started in, I think, 63 and continued up to the mid-70s with varying different lineups. Slim Smith was there at the beginning, and then right at the end there was Pat Kelly. But this particular window here I really like because not just the Technique stuff, but Winston Riley had started his own label called Techniques.
Techniques!
And was producing other artists.
Wow. So it's from 1965, this album, originally.
65? I don't think so. Is that what it says?
It says 1965 there.
Well, that just might be...
Front cover photo, 65. Sorry, my mistake, team. So 1968 to 69 is what you're saying. And how long has it been re-released for just now?
It came out originally
just
last
sits there
April.
Like a piece of treasure. Yeah, hey, until someone goes, oh, this one, and we'll re-release this one.
Yep.
Wow. And heavy vinyl. Can feel that.
Nice heavy Japanese vinyl. The usual dub store care and attention been paid. And the tune we're going to hear is from an act that is called, on this record, the Mad Lads. Originally released under the name The Escorts, but the Mad Lads were also the Highlights, the Afrolites.
Recorded in Kingston, Jamaica.
With some of the greatest reggae of this period, quite influenced by Curtis's impressions.
Oh, nice. Very, very pleasant. Very pleasant to listen to, Troy. The Mad Lads. This track's called So Afraid. A lot of tracks on the album.
Yep, there's a whole bunch. I think there's all of the Technique stuff from that year, but also we've got Dave Barker doing Your Love Is a Game. Winston Riley, the Technique's mastermind, he wrote Double Barrel, which was a big hit for Dave and Ansel Collins. Who else is on here? The Shades, who I know nothing about, have never even heard of them before.
Lovely vocals.
Mad Lads are great. I think one of the Mad Lads might have been Delroy Williams, who had not Delroy Wilson, Delroy Williams, who like had a number of hits in the Roots era.
Oh, yes.
But this is the stuff I like them do. But look at the Techniques in 65.
It's snappy as. So where would this have been released when it first came out?
This was released only on the B-side of a Technique single, weirdly enough, the song.
Oh, not, that's not the single, the album.
The album was put together by Dubstore themselves.
Oh, okay, I thought it was a re-release of compilation. No, okay, right, I'm with you, I'm with you. So these are super rare treats.
Yeah, these are just
my God.
Signs.
You got about 11 seconds of this little precious little song. Well, that's why, I mean, it's collectors. Are you look collectors? Collectors. Collectors. Are you listening? Collectors. That's one of those ones, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Now, some of the other stuff from Japan, we thought we could look for a lot of the serious intellectual person jazz material. So we chose this, which has nothing to do with it at all. This here is by Jimmy Takeuchi and his Exciters. Now, he did a series of records in the late 60s entitled Drum, Drum, Drum.
Drum, Drum, Drum.
Jimmy Takeuchi was a drummer. His Exciters were a studio band. You're going to love the look of this record, particularly the inside of it.
Oh, look, there's a young lady there just jumped up from the beach.
Yep.
She's covering herself, her modesty there with a cloth.
Yes.
But she looks like she looks very relaxed, doesn't she?
Doesn't look Japanese.
I was going to say, doesn't look Japanese. I like love that washed out look of that cover. Do you like that, Tess?
Yeah.
Cool cover, eh? Looks like an old Kodak.
It sort really
of,
does.
Yeah, those big, these have a Kodak lady in the old shops. There she is there in the back there. She's got a top back on, but she's still throwing her flags or doing a bit of semaphore. Now, all the only English words on this album are made in Japan and drum, drum, drum. Oh, and on the front, yeah, drum, Jimmy Takeuchi and his Exciters. Should we have a listen to this? I don't know what these tracks are called, even.
Open it up and have a look at Jimmy on the inside.
Oh, look at him go, look at him there. He's a badass. What's he got, like a Datsun Bluebird?
Yep, and look at the lighting all over it. Whoa.
Look at that, Tess. Look at that. There's a man, there's a rock and roller.
Rock and roller.
Now, Jimmy Takeuchi
slash motoring enthusiast from 1972.
1968, in fact, this one.
It's a cool looking cover, though.
Yeah, well, there was a series of them.
Too cool. The cover's almost too cool. The music would be a bit of... Oh, pick your pardon, Mike.
Well, on side one, on side one is the sort of light pop versions of Japanese pop. Okay. And on side two, Jimmy Takeuchi and his Exciters took on American and European pop, including this tune. Drum, drum, drum.
Venus, yeah.
Yeah, it's Venus. I went for the psychedelic phasing all the way through.
Down in the den on the conversation pit.
Hair oil.
Heroin, you say?
Yeah.
Sure, okay. Not for me, but okay, sure.
Listen to the face
of the guitar,
those
sounds amazing.
Oh, everything is great.
Tell you what, you put this on at your dinner party, you are suggesting it goes a certain direction, aren't you? You don't want people to talk politics, are you? No.
Hold on. You've got to have a conversation pit. With
conversation
that
pit, yeah.
Deep shag,
yeah,
carpet.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. Don't even make those anymore. Come on, get back into those. They're great. As a kid, though, they're so much fun.
So, like I said, this is a series of albums called Drum, 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 and they all had these... risque sort of covers, particularly risque in context of Japan.
As was the fashion at the time, even your music studio 50 great hits of polka.
That's right.
Have a risque cover.
But I think these it's kind of taken beyond kitschy lounge.
Come in, John.
Good. I can't hear it in here.
Okay, all right.
Do John handed it back.
Seductive, isn't it?
It's all in kanji, so he goes, oh, okay.
Seductive, isn't it?
What do you think, Tess?
I think it's good.
Thumbs up from John on Drive. Let him know, John, let him know. Very nice. What else we got there, Troy? What's next? That's a beauty.
Well, this is a daft record. I like it. Now, I think the
how bad's the Japanese pop cover stuff?
It's pretty fun.
Fun. All right, I'll give you fun. Okay,
I like fun.
Yeah, but hey, look, hey, fun is great. Fun is fun. Sure.
But there's also, you know, we got some jazz and we've got some pop and we got a couple of Kimiko Kasai's. Anyways, I think the first time I ever bought a Japanese pressed record, it would have been, I'm not sure exactly the year, but it would have been either a Jam record or a Style Council record. Definitely something Paul Weller related. In fact, it was probably a Jam Japanese press 7-inch with an obi with kanji and everything.
At the time, how long ago are we talking?
I think
58 years?
Probably about that, yeah.
70 billion years. So at the time, you bought it because it was a Japanese pressing?
Well, I bought it because I was a big Jam fan. And, yep. You collect all the Jam records. It's like, what? There's a different picture sleeve from Holland? Well, I've got it.
You drive me crazy that about the heavy metal bands used to do that too, the Japanese release of. Just, why? What do they get more? What have they done to deserve more? You know? So well, I used to think, being the selfish pig that I am, but yeah. The but we press on. So you know, so you bought it, and from then onwards,
I wasn't
you carry a large amount of respect,
yeah,
constantly with you for the Japanese vinyl.
Yeah, I did actually.
Yeah,
like most people,
I can see I can see what's happened there.
So
just so you know,
it's always.
I don't know if you noticed, but everyone else has noticed.
Oh, have they?
Yeah.
All right. Well, some of the cool things that happened over the years in Japan, they would do like a different sleeves with a slightly different lineup of things. Here is one of my all-time favourite groups, and we've got a few records by this group.
Look at that. What are we at? Princess Diana's 16th birthday party?
No. Come on.
Come on, they look terrible. That's the Style Council there, isn't it?
Yeah, what do you mean they look terrible? They look great. Ain't nothing cooler than that.
This is like this is what I noticed on that Queen biopic.
Yeah.
The other night too, when they had the Live Aid shots. Everyone's in light colours, like whites and pastels. And the cover of this album, you've got Paul Weller's there, and what's the other bloke's name?
Mick Talbot.
Mick Talbot's wearing like even more than blizzard wash jeans.
Yeah.
And some terrible Barker's 1983 shirt.
No.
What are you saying,
man?
Oh,
you're completely incorrect.
I'm not knocking the music. I'm just saying they look like. And where are they, in a poppy field?
Yeah.
They're shopping for heroin. What's going on?
No, I don't. I think they're on the continent, probably in France.
I think they're on the continent.
The thing about the Style Council was.
Oh, probably, yeah.
They started on the continent, right? They said, we're not British, we're European. It was like a style thing that they chose at the time.
They're cool as all hell, though, aren't they?
I don't know. I don't know
about that navy jumper that old Paul Weller's got wrapped around, tied around his waist. Or his,
I do. I think it's good.
He's got the white jeans on, too.
I tell you what, though.
But I'm not judging on it.
Noel Gallagher told quite a good story about Morrissey, right? And Noel Gallagher's friends with Paul Weller, of course, and lives just around the corner. And Morrissey was speaking to Noel Gallagher and said, how is Mr. Weller? And Noel goes, oh, he's good. Does he still wear his little jumper over his shoulders?
That's rich coming from Morrissey.
Yeah. But, okay, so this is what you have here.
Look at the picture of Mick Talbot in the background, a slightly out of focus French flag.
Yeah.
Calm down, you're from England.
On the continent, like we said. This right. Here is the Japanese version of Introducing the Style Council with the OB. This was
the original cover?
Hmm?
Is that the...
No.
No.
It's a completely different picture on the cover.
Yeah.
And it's all slightly different on the record as well. However, should we play this tune?
Please.
1983.
No doubt that our Style Council are badass.
Oh, yeah. It says money go round, of course. No good friends to the first in
money for the blessing with his holy water. Let the same old wealth in the same old hands. The same old people stay in command. What's your money go around? What's your money go around? They got it wrapped up tight, they got it safe and sound. What's your money go around? What's your money go around?
I can see you when you're a little kid there, Troy, getting into this.
Yeah. So this is the this was the first iteration of the Style Council, and on drums was Zeke, who was the drummer for the last lineup of Orange Juice. It's before Stevie White joined.
Wasn't that bass just pumping through there?
Oh yeah,
popping through.
Makes you think, get rich quick, take all I can. They're too busy spending on the means of destruction.
What was this recorded?
1983.
Funny time for music, eh?
Yeah. It could be quite appalling, but there was so much good stuff too.
Oh yeah.
This would have been the most political time of Weller's existence as well. In fact, all of the the writers' royalties from this one went to C&D, campaign for nuclear disarmament. And it was just this is during the miners' strike, and he did a council collective single after this, where it was all the money went to striking miners, and they even had an interview on the B side with some of those affected people. But yeah, still don't know why you laughed at that jumper. That's a great jumper.
Okay, I'm just Posty Plus.
Oh come on, no.
Okay,
tell me what you were wearing in 1983.
Oh, pretty much that.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, but I was like 11 or something, wasn't I? 13. Yeah.
Were you wearing a linen button-down Oxford like that?
I wasn't that highfalutin. But I was wearing a striped shirt like that other one. I was wearing those dumb blizzard wash jeans. Well, I'm wandering around a poppy field with my other adult male mate.
I don't know whether it's a poppy field. It's definitely a flower garden of some sort.
Poppy field?
Yeah.
Poppy field?
Yeah, there's a poppy. It's the red ones.
But they're out of focus. How can you tell?
Just no.
Nah, you can tell. You can tell by the long stem.
Oh, okay.
So what? Anything else apart from a different cover? What else has this Japanese pressing got for us?
Deeper bass frequencies.
It's more solid vinyl.
Yep. It's a.
Has this only just come out now?
No, it's come out in 1983.
Yeah, no, but I mean the zhushed up version. Was that a 1983 copy?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
Where the hell did you get that from? Japan. Oh, that's right. You went to Japan to get records. Right, okay, right. I thought it was a re-release of it. Fantastic stuff, Troy.
Okay, we're putting out all of the Japanese stuff we got from Tokyo last week. It'll be out on Saturday morning, 10 a.m.
Not at 9:52,
no.
Not at 9:58.
No.
At 10 a.m. Southbound Records. Troy, thank you for coming in.
Thanks so much.
Go through all those, just go through those three titles again.
Okay, so Style Council introducing. We got a few Style Council titles in. Before that, we heard the great Jimmy Takeuchi and his Exciters with their version of Venus from one of the Drum 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 LPs, 1968. Then that was a 68 pressing, by the way, that we were listening to.
Yep.
And the first one was a new from Dub Store. Well, new. We had some new Dub Store stuff, and the one we heard from the Techniques and Friends, Winston Riley's Rocksteady and Reggae 68 to 69. We heard the Mad Lads doing I'm So Afraid of Love.
Badass. Thank you very much, Troy.
Thank you. Great. Thanks
to Southbound Records, 132 Simon Street, next to T. White's Bikes.